on the screen. Good to go. Yay. It's not too hard to replace Jerry, is it? Okay. Ezekiel 34. Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these words. And I ask that you'd also help us to see the understand the signs of the times and help us to be able to apply some things or at least understand some things in our age about what something that took place 2,600 years ago. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, remember Ezekiel was a priest. Remember, he was taken from Israel or Judah to Babylon on the second military campaign. All the three campaigns in all, there were 4,600 Jewish people taken over to Babylon. And he's over there. And some of his words came back to Judah as God wanted him to. And in Ezekiel chapter 13 and 34, he has two chapters that he is pretty rough. Mean-spirited, as they say, towards the prophets or the shepherds of the Jews' day. So it's pretty rough as far as that goes. And you'll see that the Lord behaves in the same fashion where he's more, who are they coming to get? Okay, who did something? Here comes the coppers. Okay, Lucas. Okay, when they come in, everybody point at Lucas. Well, the Lord and Jeremiah both were pretty rough on the prophets of their day or the scribes, Jesus to the scribes in Matthew 23, Jeremiah to the scribes of his day, Jeremiah 23. And the Lord is pretty patient, very patient with common people or with an individual that is humble or they know their state in life, their role in life. So a guy can be a prophet and maintain a proper attitude, and then the Lord is patient with him. Apollos, if you remember him, he's a rare bird. This guy was raised under the Alexandrian mindset. Okay, but then he was mighty in the scriptures, and then Aquila and Priscilla sat down with him and expounded on him the way of the Lord more perfectly. I highly doubt that when he got done speaking, they walked down and said, "You're wrong, you're a heretic, you're a heretic." I think they probably took him out for, you know, a kebab. Okay, I don't know if they had coffee back in those days. I don't know. You know who invented coffee? Anybody know? Muslims did, but the monks approved of it, from what I read. So who knows? Don't matter. Okay, and so Ezekiel here is pretty rough. He's pretty rough, and he's describing the shepherds or the Bible teachers of his day, and we're going to see it's very similar today. It's very, very similar. And so we learn from history that most men do not learn from history, so we're destined to repeat it. And so hopefully this will give understanding, okay, if you've experienced the bad side of shepherds, pastors, whatnot, so you begin to understand, okay, and you don't get offended, because great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You just recognize the danger, and you move forward, and you pray for them. Okay, Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds. That woe is a pretty bad curse. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Okay, so a good illustration of this is go to the Southern Baptist Convention. And when it's your turn to speak, say to the Southern Baptist guy, Woe unto you clowns. You know, or you could do that with any conference that movements will get together. Okay, several years ago, I got If I went to all these conferences that I've been invited to, I wouldn't even have time to stay home. And at that time, you had pastor school in the spring, you had women's conference in the fall, and then they were starting a youth conference in the summer, then they were starting a school conference. Daryl Mord sent me that. And I said, man, if I went to all you guys' conference, I don't even got time to do anything. I said, I wonder if some of these conferences are kind of like Jehu, come and see my zeal for the Lord. but didn't get a response on that. And sadly, that's true in many cases. Okay, so, but can you imagine going to these conferences and then you just kind of rip into those guys? You're going to be really invited back, aren't you? I was asked to preach in special meetings in Columbus, Ohio, and I greatly admired and respected the pastor, and I asked him, what's your theme of your special meetings? He said, the future of fundamentalism. I said, I said, would you mind if I preach why I'm not a fundamentalist? He said, I give you the pulpit, you preach it. And he did, and they received it pretty well. But I didn't blast them. I just said, I don't want to be a party pooper, but consider this thought. And it was received very well. You kind of get a different viewpoint of things. So he says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Okay, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And then he says to them, ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Okay, ye kill them that are fed. Okay, here's how we can experience that in this time period. Okay, shepherds obviously are portraying pastors, okay, or preachers or evangelists, right? So I think we're on the same footing there. We can go with 1 Peter 5 to get our footing doctrinally. Okay, and when a pastor who maybe preaches something that he doesn't believe in a final authority, maybe he uses the King James Bible, but he doesn't believe it. Okay, and maybe somebody will ask him questions, whether they do it in a nice way or in a harsh way. Maybe they'll ask a question to try to get him to think about the preservation of the words of God. And if they get this, because this person's fed, they have fed themselves the word of God, and they know the issues, and they're trying to sort of kind of be like Aquila and Priscilla. But in this case, Apollos may not want to hear it. And so what do? They'll run them off. You see, that verse says, ye kill them that are fed. Get rid of that guy. It's kind of funny. In the New Bibles, you have in Titus chapter 3, verse 10, a man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth of himself. The word heretic's taken out of every New Bible. They change it with divisive. Meaning, pastor, I can't agree with what you're doing. I think what you're doing is promoting heresy. They take heretic out and put divisive in. They turn it around on that part. You're a divisive person. No, I was trying to tell you in a nice way, you're a heretic. You're divisive. And I had that sent to me years ago, part of the homeschool movement we are part of, Bill Gothard, on wisdom booklet number 8. They had some information there about the Septuagint, all the manuscripts. And I just wrote a very kind letter to Bill Gothard, and I appealed to him, knowing their methods. I appealed to him, Daniel 1. And I said, whoever wrote this, I think they have some misinformation. And I gave some of the information I learned. I said, maybe it'd be a blessing to you. He wrote back and said, I was being divisive. I wrote back and said, well, you're promoting, what, 5, 6, 7 new Bibles? Okay, if you got 6 new Bibles, you can divide that in 6 ways. I'm trying to encourage you to see one Bible. 1 divided by 1 is 1. Who's being divisive? Now, at the time, it seemed like he rejected that, but later on, I'd heard, kind of caught wind, that he did promote Gail Ripplinger's book to a few folks. So maybe he reconsidered. So if you do it in a nice way, you just allow God to work on that heart. Okay, if you do it like a bull in a china closet, they're going to reject it just because it's a bull in a china closet. And so that way you know that they're really receiving it rather than being bullied. So he says, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Was that tongues I heard? I thought I heard somebody speak in tongues. Pentecost? No, okay. Do we have an interpreter? I'm an interpreter. I'm an interpreter. Does anybody know that? I have the gift of interpretation. That person said their dad was going to give a great big sum offering. I'm certain that's what it said. It's funny, in Pennsylvania years ago, there's a guy that spoke in tongues in this Pentecostal church, and he spoke in Swahili. He actually did speak in a known language, and there was a missionary from Swahili in the congregation. And he told people afterwards, they said, I understood what that man said. They said, what do you say? He said, I'm not telling you. He was cursing that church and cursing God. Because Satan can lead people to speak in tongues, and these people don't even realize that they're getting cursed by that. But that was in Pennsylvania years ago. Okay, verse 4. But he says here about these shepherds, the disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. Okay, so those are, obviously you can see all the struggles that goes on in a church where people have different issues and you're trying to help them the best you can. But notice how these shepherds behaved. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now this is especially demonstrated amongst fundamental Baptists, okay, that have especially large churches, okay, where the pastor will be very dominant, okay, and he will rule, okay, with force and with cruelty. Why do they do that? Several reasons, but because one reason is because in the mindset of us Gentiles, Jesus said in Mark 10, verse 42 to 45, that Gentiles like to lord it over them. Okay, that's after the disciples were talking about who's going to be the greatest amongst them. Well, how do you determine that? Well, that means who's going to have the most numbers. Okay, and so then he said, Gentiles lord it over them, but I'm telling you, you ought to be a servant. Okay, the servant of all is greatest of all. So that, it is a tendency amongst Gentiles, but another thing is, pastors have this position, okay, and often people will come in and they will respect that position, and sometimes that position and the admiration that people have tends to go to their head. Maybe they go to the office and they study and do this and that, and they don't get out and work with the dirt. They don't work with their hands. They don't have a balance. So all they're hearing is ooey, gooey, gushy, wooshy stuff, and it will go to a person's head, and they're not dealing with reality. And then they tend to think that the world revolves around them, and if you're going to take a vacation, if it's a two-week vacation, you better leave on a Monday and then get back on a Saturday because you only miss one Sunday. Because we know the world revolves around me and my great ministry. I'm sorry, that's what the way things are. Okay, I was a part of that. You know, I've worked through that. Now I was on the pastor's side. I learned how not to do it by watching pastors behave this way. And I saw the damage and the hurt. And the thing is when a guy is a bully like this, how does he know who really cares to serve God? They're just doing it because they're afraid. This guy's going to bully him or manipulate him. If you just give the truth out to folks, and the truth is what convicts them rather than the method, then you know that people really are desiring something. You see? And so, but people say, well, my ministry, and yeah, that's the problem. It's your ministry. It's not yours. It's God's. Okay, let him take care of it. Don't worry about it. So he says, with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Let's try the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, remember that Peter denied the Lord three times publicly. So in John 21, around, with the disciples present, Jesus asked, Peter, do you love me? You know, three times. Do you phileo? Do you agape? Salape me? Do you love me? Three times. And then he said, yeah, I love you. And then he said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Okay, so the way Peter, who was a shepherd or an elder, the way a shepherd or an elder or a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist demonstrates their love for God, one, their love for the book, two, and their love for God's people, three, is that they will make the book the focal point and they will point people to the book and they walk out saying, I understood the book. And the book is what motivates me because it's the Spirit that uses the Word of God to sanctify us. So Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. A ready mind, a ruddy mind, a ready, willing mind. A good cross reference is Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, verse 6, it says he was a ready scribe. Ezra 7:10, he sought the words of God out to do them and to teach them in Israel. That's a ready scribe. He says, neither as being lords over them, okay? Lords over God's heritage. They run that back to the Mark 10 where Jesus said Gentiles like to lord it over them. But being in samples to the flock. Notice, not an example, but an ensample. The King James, very precise. An ensample is a small sample. So the elder is to be a small sample that people can follow and become the sample all around to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay, and so that's where the shepherds, Old Testament, New Testament, okay, and you put all these things together in the New Testament. In Romans, he said, the things that are written aforetime for our learning. And 1 Corinthians said, it's written for our admonition. So we go in the Old Testament. Now, we don't get doctrine, because that's Judaism, but we can get some real good spiritual applications, instructions, where Ecclesiastes is a perfect sermon. So there's the homiletics class. One book called Ecclesiastes. And you know what's really funny about that Ecclesiastes? What do the scholars tell us the Old Testament was written in? Hebrew. Ecclesiastes, drop the last four letters and what do you get? Ekklesia. That's a Greek word. God, in his humor, threw a Greek word in an Old Testament title. It is written in Hebrew. And he gives us a perfect sermon. The word preacher occurs seven times. He has a theme. He has some points to his theme and he draws a conclusion. The only thing he left out was a poem. But it's written in the wisdom books, so they're poetry, so I guess you got it anyway. But that's a perfect sermon. Now, in Nehemiah, that perfect sermon, it starts on page 999 in a good reference Bible, which is Living on Cloud 9. And a perfect public service is found on page 777, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where they read the book, they made the sense of it, and the people understood it. Three-point outline. Read it, explain it, understand it. That's what a perfect public service is, where the book is the focal point. You walk into a Catholic church, you'll see a communion table in the center. You see a pulpit on that side or a lectern and one on that side, because the focal point is something you're going to put in your belly. We have a pulpit in the center. Because we're going to have a book on that pulpit, and that's our focal point. Okay, and that's how you feed the flock of God. Okay, Ezekiel 34. What happens to the people? Verse 5, and they were scattered. That's right. Because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. You can find these people everywhere. Get witness to the people on the street, and they'll come up, maybe with a beer in their hand. They say, well, I got saved years ago, but this church did this, blah, 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 blah. And this happened here, and that happened here. And so you find them everywhere. Okay, they're scattered. He says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. Okay, doctrinally, probably Israel. Okay, scattered upon all the face of the earth. Doctrinally, probably running into the trib. And none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, okay, when those three words come out of God, that is an oath that is unchangeable, and there's nothing you can, anybody can do to move God off of that oath. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my beast became a flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at your hand and will cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth that they may not be meat for them. So he's had it. He is done with them. Okay, let's try, if you would, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Now, a person might say, boy, you know, sometimes you get kind of hard on preachers or scholars or professors or Professor Poopy Face or something like that. I'm nice compared to the God of this Bible. And I'll show you that. Okay. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. This verse is a verse that when the revisers of the NIV and New American Standard, New King Jimmy, Jehovah's Witness Bible, come across this verse, Romans 1:18, they had to change it because it's a hot potato. So he says there, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice, who hold the truth in unrighteousness? So he is warning about somebody holding the truth, but they're doing it with the wrong motive, unrighteousness. That's the revisers. So what does the reviser do with that? Hot potato. Got to get rid of that. That's, are you serious? Me? That can't be talking to me. So every new Bible changes the word hold to suppress. New King Jimmy included. You keep reading down in verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Again, that is aimed right at that reviser. And he says, oh, how dare you accuse me of this? So they all changed the word change to exchange. Oh, we don't exchange the truth of God for a lie. No, you changed it into a lie. So that's changed in every new Bible. Okay, now if you would back to Malachi chapter 2, let's see how God feels about this. So when I say, you know, Dr. Dungpile, that is a Bible idea. Malachi 2 verse 1, and now O ye priest, okay, so What were the priests in the Old Testament? The Levitical priesthood. They were the preservers of the Word of God. They were the teachers of the Word of God. Ezra is one of the few that did it properly. This commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. He already knew their heart. But then notice this kind and loving God. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. That gives rise to a little saying called, here's mud in your eye. Now, dung is a nice way of putting it. I asked a guy in prison one time, in jail, I think we came across Philippians 3:8, where he talks about he count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ, and he counts it but dung. I said, do you know what that's in the newer update? You know the street word for that? He said, yeah, and he told me. I said, yeah, you're right. It's funny, the new Bibles don't make that plain and updated. They use refuse. Boy, I'm gonna refuse your face. What is that? Okay, that's when they cut the throat of that lamb, they catch that blood, and then they cut that lamb up and they take the fat and the caul and the dung and burn it under the fire. Only in this case, as he's got that lamb cut off, as comes out the back, the Lord says, let's utilize this. You know, they're going to do a little camouflage here. And they take it and rub it right in their face to the priest. I think God's kind of upset about this. Okay, and he says, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. There was a time. Okay, the revisers of the NIV, there was a time they believed the book. They got saved. They believed the book. They went to school. The professor messed with the book. He walked out not believing the book. He lost his faith. He said, the law of truth was in his mouth, iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge and they should seek the law of his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. So, but ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I know how that feels. Okay, I went to Grace College for 2 years. It's a Calvinist school. You know, I didn't go for a real spiritual reason. You know, play basketball. I had one question for the guy that, you know, when I was going to, you know, ask about coming to school. I had one very important question I asked the guy. Do you have to wear ties here? That was my question. No. I said, okay, then I'll come. So, in New Testament survey class, Professor Ronald Manahan says, I want you to read through the New Testament. Okay, good class assignment. I encourage you not to read through the King James. I'd encourage you to go get a new Bible and read through those. So, I went to the bookstore right next to campus and bought me an NIV. I found that it was easier reading because they have less verses. And I had memorized quite a bit of scripture as a kid, you know, in Community Bible Church. And I thought, which one do I memorize? So I said, fooey on memorizing. And that's what happens. Ask an NIV individual to quote John 3:16. They can't do it. And if they do it, they might discover it's a lie. Because Jesus is not the one and only Savior. Because I'm a son of God. I'm not one and only son of God. I'm a son of God. He is the only begotten son of God. That's different. And so then when I came from Grace College and transferred over to Hiles Anderson, You know, I come in there with the King James Bible. They used the King James, but many of those professors were changing in class. When I was there, and I can remember writing, and I can remember Dean Jorgensen saying, John chapter 3, verse 5, Dr. Hiles doesn't believe this is baptism. I believe it's baptism, but you should believe what Dr. Hiles says. What? He's a graduate of Princeton University. He was the vice president at the time. Wow. I was so green, it all flew over my head. In 1984, Jack Hiles came out publicly for the King James and then lied about it, saying that he's never corrected it. Get his commentary in Revelation. 26 times you'll find him messing with it. All he had to do was just admit it. Just admit it. I was wrong. I'm now going to accept this. Now, I'm still glad they came out for the King James. I'm glad about that. I'm glad whenever the King James Bible is preached. If that person who preaches it wants a blessing, then he should believe it. God can use it in spite of that party. Okay, but Ezekiel 34, this is the trouble with the shepherds. And this is the discouragement that people get. We were knocking on doors in Mount Air. Huge place, Mount Air. At that time, it didn't have a mountain, but now it does. It's called a trash pile in Newton County. And Jan came across this one guy who was an assistant pastor at Burr Oak Mennonite Church. And he said, I heard that your preacher's King James. And she said, yeah, he is. Well, I'd like to talk to him. Okay, so I talked to the guy. He didn't like the NIV. He thought it was poor scholarship. Liked the New American Standard. I showed him the same mistakes, both of them. And he said this. He went to John MacArthur School, the master's college. He said, they kept attacking my book. I felt, I'm going to learn Greek and Hebrew so I can know what it says. He just had to learn English in a King James Bible. But that's what he thought. I showed him the issues. He said, I've never heard this before. I said, well, first time for everything. A couple months go by, I went back and talked to him, and he said, well, you'll be glad I went back to the King James. I said, that's good, but do you believe it? He said, no. I said, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You see, and that was a professor in a school that destroyed his faith. There's many, many like that. I was almost there. I was almost there. I'm so thankful to God that he pricked my heart. Study that out. Search that out, son, and figure it out. And I'm so glad for what God has done. So Ezekiel 34, verse 11. I think it goes a little bit more into shepherds and we'll stop. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. So the Lord gets personally involved. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he was among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So doctrinally, that's probably jumping into the trib, the way it looks to me. And he says, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the uninhabited places of the country. That definitely, clearly shows that's what it is. I will feed them in a good pasture. Sounds like Psalm 23. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. And I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. So that's a great promise that the Lord's given to Israel. Psalms 23 is most certainly right in line with that. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments we covered? Okay, well, I'll pass out for the deacons. Isaiah, would you help me pass one of these out? Paul Dad thinks it's 18 for voting. Is it 16 or 18?
I think it's
18. Okay. So, he's passing out, Isaiah's passing out budget. So if you would vote for three, fold it in half and then give it to